Take your Bibles, please, and turn to James chapter 1. We started a new series last week that we've called What If? And last week we looked at the question, what if we saw God for who He really is? And I pray that you've taken some time this week to allow that sermon to work through your mind and your heart. And if you were not able to be here last week, I do encourage you to go online and hear that. It has nothing to do with the person who delivered the message, I assure you. It is the content of the message itself that is so important for us to understand who God really is and how we should respond to Him. In James chapter 1, starting in verse 22, it says this, "Do not merely listen to the word." It's referring to the Word of God. "Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the Word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like." Jesus said this in John 14, 21, "Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me." Do you love Jesus this morning? It matters not whether we say yes or no. The proof of whether we love Jesus is whether we are keeping His commands or whether we're not. Statistics that are and have been taken among church-going, professing Christians have always troubled me deeply. I always try to hold out hope that the numbers are horribly wrong, but they're not. Year after year, statistics come in from surveys that are taken that deeply trouble me. Barna Research, every year, surveys, does multiple surveys among Christians. Now, I want you to be very aware of what I just said. These are not surveys of the average person on the street who believes who knows what. These are surveys taken among professing Christians. Please listen to this. Among those surveyed, 40% do not believe Satan is a living being, but rather just a symbol of evil. An additional 19% somewhat agree with that viewpoint. 8% were not sure what they believe about Satan. 38% strongly agreed, and an additional 20% agreed somewhat that the Holy Spirit is not a living entity, but just a symbol of God's presence. 9% were not sure what they believed. 22% strongly believed that Jesus sinned while on earth. An additional 17% agreed somewhat with that viewpoint. 8% did not have an opinion on the matter. Well, if you don't have an opinion on this matter, you pretty much have an opinion on it. Only 55% of Christians surveyed believed that the Bible is accurate in all its principles. You say, well, that's 55%. No, only 55% of Christians surveyed believe that the Bible is completely accurate in all its principles. An additional 18% somewhat agreed with that statement. 29% of professing Christians, listen to this, said their faith had been helpful but had not greatly transformed their life. Last time I checked, I believe that the gospel was supposed to change everything. 9% stated that their faith has, quote, not made much of a difference, end quote, in who they are and how they live. 91% of American households own at least one Bible, and the average household that has a Bible owns four. The Bible, of course, was the first book ever printed and continues to be the best-selling book of all time. 25 million copies are sold each year in the United States alone. And yet, as someone has said, Although the Bible is the best-selling book of all time, it is proportionally the least read book of all time. Pollster George Gallup Jr. said this, quote, "Americans revere the Bible, but by and large, they don't read it," end quote. How can you revere something you don't know? Polls show that only about one-third of American Christians read the Bible on their own one or more times each week. But here's what I want to be quick to step in and say. While we may sit here in shock and disbelief, even disgust, at hearing these statistics coming from Christian, so-called Christian circles, let's first ask ourselves whether we believe the Bible. Sure, we believe that God created the heavens and the earth. We believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. We believe he rose again. But have you ever taken a serious personal inventory of just how many things in the Bible you may be giving lip service to, but failing to actually obey in your own life? Y'all stay with me now. Don't run out the exits. I've told you before, God preaches these sermons to me all week long before I ever stand up here and preach them to you. I've gotten my hide tanned all week over this sermon. I've got to let this out. I can't keep it bottled up anymore. There are so many people in the world who, whenever they think about Christians, whenever they talk to Christians or see Christians, there's a word that comes to their mind that they call us. They call us hypocrites. And before we brush that aside, I think we must be honest enough to admit that to a large degree, we have earned that name. To a large degree. We Christians are often so good at talking about the Bible, saying how we believe that it changes lives, but it's sometimes hard to see exactly how the Bible has changed our life. And I'm here to tell you this morning, it's not enough just to believe in something. Anybody can say they believe in anything, but belief on its own is meaningless. It's only when belief becomes action that it is proven to be true. James 2:19 says, "You believe there is one God? Good. The demons believe that, and they tremble at the thought of that." Belief is worthless until it is converted into conduct. As followers of Christ, I hope as we are moving into this series asking these important questions, I would hope that as followers of Christ, we've already asked the foundational questions like, does God really exist? Is Jesus the only way to God? I hope we've all worked through those big foundational questions, but the questions I want us to focus on in this series are, quite frankly, the questions that I think we're afraid to ask. I think most of us live in a place where we hope that these questions would never really come up in conversation. And so I just want to say, you're welcome. I'm never content to just kind of live in that status quo Christianity. Man, if that's where you want to live, my heart truly breaks for you. I lived there for years. I was a status quo Christian. I was a mediocre follower of Christ. I'm not even sure that that's possible, but I'll at least give myself that much of an excuse. It's my desire in this series to tear off the surface layers that we are all so good at living behind and ask the questions that really matter. So today I want to ask the question, what if we really believed the Bible? I know what you're thinking, Phil. Of course we believe the Bible. We're Christians. No. I want you to listen to that question again. What if we really believed the Bible? Phil, why are you asking this? I believe the Bible. I'm a Christian. No, I want to ask it again. What if we really believed the Bible? Do we have any concept of how many things in our lives would be dramatically different than they are today if we really believed the Bible? Because if we really believed the Bible, not just agree with it in principle, not just believe that it's a good book that has a lot of good moral outlines by which to construct your life. No, if we really believed in the Bible and put it into action in our lives, I'm here to tell you, our lives would be radically different than they are today. It's going to take some courage for us to move through this sermon. God has been working on me this week in this area in a big way. One specific issue that has been on our plate this week is our building lease. I shared with you at the end of the service last week. This is a huge issue for us. I've caught myself at times this week feeling moments of panic. November 1st is very close. It's less than 60 days. What if the owner, who we're meeting with on Tuesday at 2 o'clock, by the way, please mark that down and be in prayer for that meeting. What if he just refuses to listen to anything we have to say and say, oh, it's too bad, November 1st, you're out. And so this week I have had moments where God, as I've been preparing this message in the wonderful way that he is able to do, has come to me through his word and said, hey, Pastor Phil, do you really believe the Bible? Yes, sir, of course I do. No, Phil. Do you really believe the Bible? Because if we really believed the Bible, listen, there would be steps of obedience that we would take that we're not taking today. If we really believed the Bible, there would be steps of faith that we would be taking that we're not taking today if we really believed the Bible. I sat down through the course of this week and I just began to jot down some things. I just want to move through these and share these with you. And you focus in on this and listen to these and ask the Holy Spirit to show you if any of these things land in your personal world this morning. And we're asking the question, with all of these questions, do we really believe the Bible? First one, why are we so often riddled with fear if we really believe that God is in control? Why do we stress so much about our lives if we really believe that he has promised to meet our needs? Why are we reluctant to live with bold faith if we really believe that God will always make a way? I know you can't write all these down. I'll be glad to send them to you. Why are we so reluctant to take bold steps of faith if we really believed that God will always make a way? If we really believe that God's ways are always good and right and true, why are we so quick to question him during the painful seasons of life? If we really believe that we will give an account for every idle word we speak, why are we still so careless with our words? If we really believe that Jesus commanded us to deny ourselves, why do we spend so much time looking out for number one? If we really believe that this world is not our home, that we're only citizens here for a short while because our home is in heaven, why do we still store up for ourselves treasures on this earth when Jesus specifically told us not to? If we really believe that there is unstoppable power in prayer, why is prayer always our last resort? If we really believed that sin would destroy our lives, Why do we constantly flirt with it? If we really believed that there was a hell for all who reject Christ, why aren't we tearfully pleading with every unsaved person we know to be saved? If we really believed that, if we really believed that Jesus is coming back at an hour we do not expect, why do we go on living like we've got forever? If we really believe that we will all stand before Him and give an account of our lives, why do we continue making the choices we make today? If we really believed that through Him we are more than conquerors and that no weapon formed against us will prosper, why do we cower so quickly in the face of the enemy? I'm not done yet. If we really believed that all things are possible through Him, why do we live such timid lives and trust Him for so little? If we really believed that apart from Him we can do nothing, why do we so often choose to go our own way? Christian husbands, if we really believed that we are to love our wives as Christ loved the church and laid down His life for her, why don't we do it? Christian wives, if you really believe that you are to submit yourself to your husband's leadership and respect him, why do you push back so hard against that? Christian children, if you really believe that God has commanded you to honor and obey your parents in the Lord, why don't you do it? Are you starting to get the picture? When we stop and take an honest look, we would have to admit that there are so many areas of disconnect between what we say we believe and what we actually do. Is anybody with me on this morning? I just went through a few, 12 or 15 that I jotted down this week. The list goes on, and it is unbelievably convicting to look at. I see a huge disconnect in what we say we believe and how we actually live our lives. Because if we really believe something is true, it will always manifest itself in our actions. Forgive this silly illustration. It is a ridiculous, over-the-top illustration, but I want to give it for that exact point. And I hope that it will force us back to this point that I'm making. If you receive news that the most feared gang in town, a gang known for violent murders, was going tonight to the home of someone you love dearly, and if you got that information on good authority and you really believed that that was going to happen, would you lay on the couch watching TV going, well, hope it works out okay. Pass the Doritos. Of course not. That's absurd. Everybody sitting in here is saying, of course we wouldn't do that. We would get on the phone. We would call them. If we couldn't reach them, we would race across town. We would do whatever we had to do, go to any lengths in order to get to them in time and warn them of the danger and take them to safety. Your belief that that news is really true would directly affect your actions. Yet how often we hear the truth of God's word and we say we believe it, and yet we walk away without allowing it to have any effect in our lives whatsoever. We read it at the beginning, James 1:22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. The Christian life is not just about believing in something. The wonderful old song nailed it. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. It's about not only trusting, it's about that trust, that belief, making a difference in the way we obey and the way we live that out. Listen, let's be honest. We Christians are pretty good at saying that we believe in the Bible. But our belief is worthless unless it affects our actions. James 2:20, you can flip over a page there. He says this. I like the way he just sugarcoats this right off the bat. You foolish person. Okay. Do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Yours may say dead, exact same thing. Do you want evidence, he says, that faith without actions is useless? Verse 21, was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions, here it is, were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. Now, I want to be very quick to follow this up in case there's anyone new here today who doesn't know what we believe on this. You cannot do anything to earn your salvation. You cannot do anything to make you righteous before God. The Bible is clear on that. It's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. This is not talking about the fact that Abraham was saved because of what he did. It's trying to say to us that what he did was proof that he was saved. His faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete. In other words, his faith was validated by what he did. Go a little deeper into this. Hebrews 11 is a great chapter of the Bible. If you've never read that, I encourage you to go through it sometime. Some people have called it the Hall of Faith in the Bible, and that's pretty good. The problem is, as I've told you before, we usually stop halfway through Hebrews 11 when they talk about all the great things that people did by faith. But be sure to include the last half of Hebrews 11 that talks about all the people who were persecuted and tortured and put to death for their faith, because that's part of the journey for some of us as well. Hebrews 11 is a beautiful chapter that brings to light for us this faith plus action issue that we must all come to grips with in our Christian life. It is not just about faith. Faith is proved by the actions that follow. It says there in Hebrews 11, we don't have time to go through it all, but it says in verse 7, by faith Noah, when warned about the things not yet seen, in holy fear, what did he do? He built an ark to save his family. I want to read that again. By faith, Noah, when warned about the things not yet seen, built an ark. It says in verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, what did he do? He obeyed and he went. There's faith followed by action. Let me just ask you this question. This is a really deep, technical, theological question. Do you know what the ark was? You go, duh, it was a boat. Yeah, the ark was a boat, but the ark was much more than that. I don't ever want you to forget what I'm about to tell you. The ark was visible evidence that Noah believed God. You get that? That's powerful. Noah could have walked around for 120 years saying, I believe God. I believe it's going to rain. But if he never picked up his hammer and his saw, it wouldn't have made a bit of difference. The ark was visible evidence that Noah really believed God. Abraham's journey, leaving his country to go to a place he didn't even know where he was going, his journey was visible evidence that he really believed God. And I want to ask you the most important question of this entire sermon. Listen to me. Is there any visible evidence in your life that your faith is real? Is there any visible evidence in your life that proves your faith is real? Because true faith always shows up in our actions. I have a video I want to show you that so beautifully illustrates this from a real event in history where people said they believed, but when it came time to put actions to their beliefs, they weren't so quick to do it. Watch this video.
Charles Blondin, he was one of the greatest tightrope walkers in the history of the world. And one of his greatest feats was walking the Niagara Falls on a tightrope, 11,000 feet long, 160 feet above the water. And this he accomplished a number of times, and always with different theatric variations. Blindfolded, in a sack, pushing a wheelbarrow, on stilts, carrying a man on his back, and sitting down one time midway while he made an egg. An omelet. And one day after he had pushed a wheelbarrow across the Niagara Falls and come back on that tightrope, he asked a question. How many of you believe that I could put a person in this wheelbarrow and push him across the tightrope? And everybody cheered and yelled and screamed, and everybody believed. And then he asked for a volunteer. And the crowd grew very, very quiet until one man stepped out of the crowd and got in the wheelbarrow. There's a difference between the crowd and the man in the wheelbarrow. In regards to God, where are you? In the crowd? Saying, oh, I believe there's a God. I believe Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world. I believe there's a new world coming. Or are you in the wheelbarrow? You know, it doesn't really make much difference when you're standing on shore. It makes a lot of difference halfway across the tightrope. And in our everyday experiences, in our life, in our choices, in our waking up, going through our days, and going back to bed, we can play it safe. We can stay in the boat. We can maintain our comfort zone, or we can walk on the water with Jesus. But if you want to walk on the water, you've got to get out of the boat. What do you think about? What are you connected to? What's driving you? What's motivating you? What makes you make the choices you make? Who is most important? Life, not in your words, not out of your mouth, but out of your life.
Do we really believe the Bible? Because if we do, it will show up in our actions. Faith always begins within, but it always works its way out. Remember that. I just want to ask you as we close, have there been things in your life that others have seen this past week, this past month, that give evidence to the fact that you really believe the Bible? Someone once asked this brilliant question years ago. If you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Is there evidence in our lives? Is there evidence of what we say we believe? Can I just tell you something? The unsaved world could care less what we believe. But when they see the power of Jesus Christ living through us, affecting what we say and do, that is what they care about. And that is powerful in its ability to draw them to the Savior. Our beliefs won't draw anyone to Christ, but our faith in action, moving through us in a lost world, will certainly do so. I've been asking myself this question all week. Are there areas in my life where I say I believe the Bible, but I'm failing to live it out? Because when it's all said and done, that's all that really matters. And so as we go our way in just a few moments, I would love for you to take this assignment with you this week to focus on one or two of those areas that the Holy Spirit may be bringing to your mind, as he has with me this week. Just don't think about all 74 of them at once. Just focus in on maybe the one or two top ones that are just really cleaning your clock as a Christian. And you look at that and go, man, oh man, God, I want your help to do so much better in this area. And begin praying over those one or two areas that you've identified and ask the Holy Spirit to begin living his life through you in those one or two areas. Are you willing to do that this week? Listen, I believe we would see remarkable changes if we got serious about this, if we were willing to peel back the layers, the surfacey Christian stuff, and get real with this and say, God, go beneath the surface. I want you to explore within. Forget about the shiny veneer on the outside. What's really going on in me underneath? And if you are like me, I believe we could all together honestly say that we're maybe at that place where that father was when he brought his boy to Jesus, who was demon-possessed. He said, Jesus, can you please help my boy? And Jesus said to him, all things are possible. All things are possible to him who believes. You know what the man said? I think it's one of the purest, most honest statements that has ever been uttered in history. The man said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Anybody with me there this morning? Lord, I believe. I believe. I believe in this word. But Lord, help my unbelief. I've got so many areas of unbelief in my life. You guys can feel free to fire me after admitting that. I've got so many areas. They just rose to the surface this week. And I told one of our guys, I wish somebody else was preparing this sermon this week because it just beat me up all week long, but in the sweetest, most beautiful way. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. What if, church? What if we really believed the Bible? Just think of what God could do through a group of people who not only claimed to believe the Bible, but who believed it so completely that they staked everything on it and they lived it out in their lives. Imagine what God could do. I pray that God will enable us to be that group of believers. Let's pray. Father, I thank you again for the truth and the clarity of your word. And I thank you that Jesus did not soften or water down the truth of his message. In fact, he raised the bar to weed out those who weren't really serious. And he made it unmistakably, inescapably, undeniably clear that it's only those who obey his commands who really love him. Father, would you do a check in our hearts today? Would you help all of us to allow you to examine us and get real and find out if we just say we believe the Bible or whether we really believe the Bible. what I believe everybody in this room who knows you longs to have that visible evidence in their lives that their faith is real. I believe we all do. Would you enable us to live those kind of lives for your glory? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to a broadcast from LifePoint Church in Greenville, South Carolina. If this ministry has touched your life in some way, we would love to hear from you. Just visit our website at www.lifepointsc.org for more information. Or, if you prefer to reach us by letter, you can write to us at P.O. Box 27036, Greenville, South Carolina, 29616, USA. Until next time, may God bless you as you continue to follow Him.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart.